Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1572, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, July the 23rd, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, July 24th, at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Annie McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston. PL tone is 123.0, and I will now take local check-ins.
Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5JRD, Carl, Jersey Village. I'm Marty.
Good evening, Carl, and WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. And I think we got Herbert. I heard some noise out there. You don't have a very strong signal tonight, Herbert. But it sounded like you, sounded like you're static. So we're going to put you down, KD5PQJ, Herbert, WV5Y, Marty, and the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, we're going to struggle through this one. We're on like about, I think it's day six now with COVID-19, unfortunately. Went for like 4 years and stayed away from it. It's been one of those kind of months. Okay, we have not heard any information from Walter, K5WH, and the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. I think they did have some packages ready, but I think just a lot's been going on, and balloons have kind of taken probably a little bit of a back burner here for a little while, but I'm sure there will be going up more in the future, so we look forward to hearing more information from Walter on that. And, of course, South Texas Balloon Launch Team has a monthly meeting, and that happens on the second Wednesday of the month at 4:30 p.m. and usually in a local restaurant, and then happens on Zoom at 8 p.m. Central Time, and that's over at k5wh.net/zoom. So be sure and go over there, check it out if you're so inclined, and you can find out how things are going on the balloon team. Situation. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. You can call and make a quick phone check-in to this net by calling 713-467-9870. You can also send an email, and that's to WV5Y@comcast.net. And you can also send an APRS message. That's to WV, or as Andy used to like to say, West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers. So that'll get you a APRS message through. Let's see here. We're going to switch over to the AmSat News Service bulletins. This is ANS bulletin number 203 from Paul Stotzer. And the AmSat News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, the date for the 2024 AMSAT Symposium has been decided, October 25th through the 27th, 2024, and it's at the DoubleTree by Hilton, Tampa, Rocky Point Waterfront in Tampa, Florida. So watch for announcements coming for details as the plans are formulated for the symposium. And the AMSAT Board of Directors election is underway. The nomination period is over. That ended on June the 15th for the 2024 AMSAT Board of Directors election. And the following candidates have been duly nominated. Mark Hammond, N8MH, Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, Bruce Page, KK5VO, Paul Stotzer, N8HM, and Douglas Tabor, N6UA. As three seats on the Board of Directors are up for election this year, the three candidates receiving the largest number of votes shall be declared elected to the seats. The two candidates receiving the next largest number of votes shall be declared first alternate and second alternate, respectively. The voting process is now underway. AMSAT members can find candidate statements and electronic voting information on AMSAT's Wild Apricot membership portal. And, of course, to get to that, you just go to launch.amsat.org/2024-BOD-election. Of course, if you want to make it even easier to get to that link, you can just go to amsatnet.org, thanks to Bruce and our website, and just click on the link there in the document for tonight's net, and that'll take you right to the spot where you can log in and vote. The voting period will conclude on September the 15th, and results will be announced no later than September the 30th. And we want to thank Jeff Davis, KE9V, AMSAT Secretary, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Well, I've thought about doing one of our classic nets here, and might have done that, but we might still have time to do that. Seems like we're going through tonight's information really fast, so might have to pull that up here in a bit. We'll see. Looks like they put off by about 30 days, thank goodness, make things a little easier. The AMSAT mail alias service to end on August the 31st, 2024. So long-standing member service, the AMSAT mail alias service, is scheduled to end on August the 31st, 2024. Mail alias on AMSAT.org permitted people to send an email to members without knowing their actual internet email address. They just needed to know their amateur radio call sign. Unfortunately, the unchecked rise in domain name hacking and email account hijacking has made it impossible to sustain this service at a cost-effective level. The number of call sign and AMSAT.org email accounts that has been hijacked and converted to zombie spam accounts over the years and led many internet service providers and gateway centers to ban all at AMSAT.org email addresses, including those business accounts of AMSAT officers and officials. The tireless efforts of AMSAT's all-volunteer IT staff has worked for years to repair much of the damage, but AMSAT still gets complaints from members who are not getting their personal emails, ANS bulletins, or AMSAT BB posts because of persistent delivery problems. It has come to the point where the AMSAT volunteer IT staff can no longer keep up with the maintenance requirements to keep the alias mail list clean and to work with email gateways to remove blocks. And after considerable investigation into alternative paid email services, AMSAT leadership decided that the money required to keep an email alias system alive would be better spent on building and flying satellites for its members. Persons using the mail alias service, like me, for like the past 25, 30 years, should begin to migrate to different email accounts so they do not lose receipt of personal emails, AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletins, AMSAT BB Posts, or official messages from AMSAT itself. Members are especially asked to make sure they are not using a call sign at AMSAT.org as their registered email addresses in the AMSAT membership portal. Members can easily change their registered member email address by logging into the portal and updating their profile. And we want to thank AMSAT for that information. And yes, I spent like a whole weekend converting email accounts. And so I think we're getting there. I don't know, there's always going to be some that you don't find out about till later, but we can only do as good as we can do. This is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSATnet. See, it looks like the Tevel satellites are nearing re-entry. The Tevel series of satellites is approaching re-entry, with Tevel 5 already re-entering on July the 18th. The Tevel mission consists of 8 satellites developed by the Herzliya Science Center in Israel, each carrying an FM transponder. The satellites were built by 8 schools in different parts of Israel and launched in January of 2022 on the SpaceX Falcon 9 Transporter 3 mission. A number of other satellites with amateur radio payloads are also re-entering shortly. A list of satellites approaching re-entry can be found at lu7aa.org/decay.asp. Okay, we want to thank the Herzliya Space Center and AMSAT Argentina and LU7AA for that information. Okay, the 2024 coins are here now, so you can help support Golf and Fox Plus. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today. And to do that, you simply go to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Got some good news for AMSAT Oscar 7. It is now in continuous sunlight. AMSAT Oscar 7, soon to celebrate its 50th birthday on November the 15th, 2024, is now in a period of continuous sunlight through May the 22nd, 2027. While in continuous sunlight, the satellite's internal timer is expected to switch between the two transponders, mode A, which is a 29 megahertz downlink with a 145 megahertz uplink, and also then to mode B, which is a 145 megahertz downlink and a 29 megahertz uplink every 24 hours. Post reports and check current status on the AmSat Live Oscar satellite status page, and that's over at www.amsat.org/status.
BL-123.
I say after a few days in continuous sunlight, it should be possible to determine the actual or approximate time the satellite switches. So that'll be interesting. It's been pretty much just totally random here for the past few years. So it'll be good that they can kind of figure out maybe what it's going to do for a while. And we want to thank EA1PA for that information. Okay, this is Martin WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet, and we're a little bit past a quarter past hour, so we're going to take a quick standby, take a look around, and see who we've had checking in via some of our other means. Coughing fit there. We heard from Charlie, K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston. And sounds like he's doing pretty good over there. And so we appreciate him calling and checking in. We have Kai N6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he calls and checks in. He is our podcast listener, so we appreciate that. He usually calls on Wednesdays. So hope things are going good up there for Kai. And even though I know he deals with the public, being a male person, but hope you stayed away from this. It's no fun. Okay, we got Dale, WD0AKO. He's over there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. And we want to thank him for doing that. And I know they've just been on a cruise, so I hope they're getting back to being normal again. And we've got Vern, WZRCR, up there in Wentzville, Missouri. And he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we want to thank Vern for putting us over there on the top band on the weekend. And from IRC, we've got AK0A, Ken, KG4OZW, Clay, KG4WIJ, Brian, NZ9T, Renee, and K8WX, Bob. And then from EchoLink, we have Emmanuel, IU5. SIH, so good evening to him. We have Andrew, KC5, down there in Galveston. I hope Andrew's doing good. Hello to Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest. Glad to hear he's got internet going again and electricity and getting the generator fixed and all those kind of great things. We have Steve, KA5YFC, and NDOF, M6UTC. And also, let's see, thanks to Mitch, of course, there's a Wednesday night AmSatNet, and so you can take care of that by getting over there on DMR. And then, let's see, we've also got another check-in here. We've got WW4HAL. And that's Fort Walton Beach, Florida. So we want to say thanks for the check-in there, and welcome aboard the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, we're updating everybody on the Wednesday night AmSatNet. So that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays on DMR, and that's on the Digital Talk Group 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689. So you can get on there and participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet and let them know if you're needing any grids or going to be making any grids available by doing any roads. They'd like to hear about that stuff.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSatNet. And let's see here. Okay, we're going to switch back over to AmSat News Service Bulletins. And we have some changes, looks like, to the AmSat TLE distribution for July the 19th, 2024. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or simply KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. And weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. Keeps you pointed in close enough to where when you're pointing your antennas to through your software, they're actually pointed at the satellite. TLE bulletin files are updated Thursday evenings around 2300 UTC, or more frequently, if new high-interest satellites are launched. You can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Following satellites have been removed from this week's AmSat TLE distribution. MESAT-1 remains on this distribution. No signals have been detected from any other amateur spacecraft launched as part of NASA's LMF-43 mission, unfortunately. So that means LMF-43 Object A, NORAD catalog ID 60203, no amateur signal detected. LNF-43 Object B, LNF Object C, LNF Object D, LNF-43 Object E, F, and LNF-43 Object H, NORAD catalog ID 60204, 60205, 60206, 60207, 60208 and 60210, no amateur signal detected. Okay, then Zhao Enlai, NORAD catalog ID 43156, decayed to orbit on or about the 17th of July, 2024, and Devil 5, NORAD catalog ID 50998, decayed from orbit on or about the 18th of July, 2024. And we have had a couple added. Following satellites have been added to this week's AmSat TLE distribution. And we've got GRBB Beta, NORAD catalog ID 60236, IARU coordinated downlinks on 145.935 megahertz, 436.785 megahertz, and 2405.000 megahertz. And then there's the ROB USTA-3A, NORAD catalog ID 60241, IARU coordinated 9600 baud GMSK with AX.25 downlink on 436.750 megahertz. And we want to say thanks to Nico PA0DLO for identifying the two new spacecraft. And also thanks to Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Okay, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase through AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space.
DL123.
And if you'd like a direct link to the AMSAT store, you can just go to amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 megahertz worldwide. And there's the Aznakovsky District Schools in the Republic of Tatarstan, Russia, direct. The ISS call sign presently scheduled to be RS0ISS. Crew member is Alexander Griboykin, RZ3DSE. The ARIS Mentor is RV3DR. And the contact is go for Saturday, 7/27/2024 at 1345 UTC. Okay, then there's the Arizona Science Center in Phoenix, Arizona, has a contact and a telebridge via AB10C. The ISS call sign is presently scheduled to be NA1SS. Scheduled crew member is Matthew Dominic, KC0TOR. The ARIS Mentor is K4RGK, and the contact is Saturday, 7/27/2024 at 18:24:08 UTC with a 41-degree maximum elevation. As always, if there is an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol, and the crossband repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.99 megahertz up with a peel tone of 67 and 437.800 megahertz down. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the microphone, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know when you might get to talk to one of the astronauts. Note, all times are approximate. Since they don't know exactly where you are, it is recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the listed time. Latest information on the operation mode can be found at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use on the ISS can be found over at www.aris.org/contact www.ss-b-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the Aeris Operation Team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. excuse me. Looks like we're right at the bottom of the hour here. So we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any more local check-ins. So this is Marty, WV5Y on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. Any more local check-ins? Come now. Some upcoming satellite operations. A growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations on hams.at. By visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the match score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, while also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. N8MR will be in grid EN57 with roves to EN67 from August 2nd through August the 10th. ICOM 9700, an Arrow, and an Alaskan antennas for IO-117. Be listening for Europe on linear eastern passes, at least two of these on CW. Can operate CW for NAOPS if anyone wants it. I can rove to EN56 only if needed. Posting passes to hams.at a day in advance. All QSOs to Logbook of the World as N8MR. And we want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AmSat Rover Page Manager, for that information. Okay, you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AmSat car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And you just simply go to www.zazzle.com/store/AmSat_gear. We do have some scheduled events that are coming up, some AmSat Ambassador activities. AmSat Ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And AmSat Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, "Think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? Let me know by emailing me at k6lcsclint@gmail.com or calling at 909-999-7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far has been customized and tailored to his audiences. Okay, coming up, we've got the 2024 CARS, CARS/ARRL Idaho State Convention, and that's August the 3rd, 2024. In Post Falls, Idaho, and that's going to be by K7SYS. There's the Huntsville Ham Fest, August the 17th through the 18th, 2024, in Huntsville, Alabama. It's going to be an AMSAT booth and forum, attended by WADEU and W4FCL. Okay, there's the Northeast Ham Exposition, August 22nd through the 25th, 2024. That's at the Best Western Royal Plaza Hotel and Trade Center at 181 Boston Post Road West, Marlboro, Massachusetts, 01752. And let's see, they don't have a URL for that one. There's the Greater Louisville Ham Fest, September the 7th, 2024, at Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And there's going to be an AMSAT forum and information table put on by W4FCL. And the Central Kentucky Ham Fest, October the 5th, 2024, in Lexington, Kentucky. AMSAT, an educational satellites forum, and an information table by AI4SR and W4FCL. The North Star Radio Convention is October the 5th, 2024, at the Hennepin Technical College North Campus, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And that's AMSAT forum and information table put on by K0JM. And Mitch, 80HJ.
BL-123.
And the Arabic Convention, the 2024 AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, October 25th to the 27th, 2024. That'll be at the DoubleTree by Hilton, Tampa, Rocky Point Waterfront. That's 3050 North Rocky Point Drive West, Tampa, Florida, 33607. And then finally, the Stone Mountain Ham Fest, the ARRL State Convention, November the 2nd through 3rd, 2024, in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And that'll be attended and put on by K4RGK. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, for letting us know about those. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see, we're down to satellite shorts from all over. Looks like the XW2B has recently returned to reliable service. XW2B has an inverting linear transponder with an uplink of 435.090 through 435.110 MHz and a downlink of 145.730 through 145.750 megahertz. All right, it's glad to always see another satellite that we thought was not working and has come back into service again. And the May-June 2024 issue of the AMSAT Journal is now available to members on the AMSAT member portal. You can go to launch.amsat.org/the_amsat_journal. And yes, unfortunately, the SpaceX's Falcon 9 suffered a rare failure on July the 11th when the upper stage experienced an anomaly and was unable to complete its second burn trapping 20 Starlink satellites in an unusably low orbit. More information at spacenews.com/starlink-satellites-lost-on-falcon-9-upper-stage-failure. And we want to thank Space News for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Now it looks like we've got Damien, AG9P, out there in Oconto, Wisconsin, who's joined us over on Echolink. So we want to welcome aboard, Damien. And yes, we're suffering through COVID. It's been about 6 days now, after 4 years of avoiding it. So that's what's going on over here. All right, and unfortunately, the wife is only about 24 hours behind me. But we're on like about day number 4, I guess, of the Paxlovid or something like that. So things are getting better. Okay, you can join AmSat today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AmSat offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that's from this week's ANS editor, Paul Stotzer, N8HM. And that's N8HM@amsat.org. And you're going to have to change that, Paul, so don't forget. ANS is a service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, and they are at 712 H Street, ME, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 2002. This is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSat Net. And we're switching gears real quick over here to Space Daily. And it looks like we got a message here from Beijing. June 25th, though, that's a month old. Okay, let's see. Coming from Solar Science, it's Space Daily. July the 21st, a couple days ago, a new method to accurately predict solar storms to protect the Earth's technology. Well, there's been some Now we have just reached the peak of solar cycle 25. They've seen some possible indications of sunspot alignments that might be showing a new cycle is starting. So I saw some information about that. So we'll just have to see. But I know we've had some really high solar flux numbers and some X-class flares here in the last week or two. So it's a possibility. Space storms could soon be forecasted with greater accuracy thanks to significant advancements in predicting when a violent solar eruption may impact Earth. Scientists have developed a method to determine the exact speed of a coronal mass ejection, or a CME, and predict its impact on Earth before it fully erupts from the Sun. CMEs, which are bursts of gas and magnetic fields from the solar atmosphere, can cause geomagnetic storms that disrupt technology both in Earth's orbit and on its surface. This improvement in forecasting is crucial for protecting viral infrastructure, according to researchers at Aberystwyth University. These findings will be presented at the Royal Astronomical Society's National Astronomy Meeting in Hull. The discovery was made by studying active regions on the Sun, which have strong magnetic fields where CMEs originate. Researchers monitored these regions before, during, and after eruptions, focusing on the critical height at which the magnetic field becomes unstable and can cause a CME. By measuring how the strength of the magnetic field decreases with height, we can determine its critical height, said lead researcher Harshita Grandi, a solar physicist at Aberystwyth University. This data can then be used along with the geometric model to track the true speed of CMEs in three dimensions, which is essential for precise predictions.
BL-123.
She added, our findings reveal a strong relationship between the critical height at CME onset and the true CME speed. This insight allows us to predict the CME speed and, consequently, its arrival time on Earth even before the CME has fully erupted. When CMEs hit Earth, they can trigger geomagnetic storms capable of producing stunning aurora, known as the Northern Lights in the Northern Hemisphere. However, these storms also pose risks to vital systems such as satellites, power grids, and communication networks, underscoring the importance of accurate CME predictions. Accurate speed predictions enable better estimates when a CME will reach the Earth, providing crucial advance warnings. Understanding and using the critical height in our forecast improves our ability to warn about incoming CMEs, helping to protect the technology that our modern lives depend on, Gandhi said. Our research not only enhances our understanding of the Sun's explosive behavior, but also significantly improves our ability to forecast space weather events. This means better preparation and protection for the technological systems we rely on every day.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, here we go from Space Daily. Early signs of solar cycle 26 detected midway through cycle 25. And this comes from Sophie Jenkins, London, UK, from just a few days ago. Researchers have detected early signs of the sun's next 11-year solar cycle, despite being only halfway through the current one. This discovery was made through the observation of sound waves within the sun. Currently at its peak, or solar maximum, cycle 25 has seen the sun's magnetic field causing an increase in sunspots, flares, and coronal mass ejections. These activities result in heightened electromagnetic energy impacting Earth and more frequent auroras visible at lower altitudes. Cycle 25, which began in 2019, is projected to continue for another 6 years. However, researchers from the University of Birmingham have identified the first signs of the next solar cycle. These findings were presented at the Royal Astronomical Society's National Astronomy Meeting in Hull. By using the sun's internal sound waves, astronomers measure its rotation and observe patterns of bands, solar torsional oscillation that rotate at varying speeds. All right, we got a good check-in there from Dale, WD0AK, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. And, yeah, they just got back from a cruise, and it sounds like some of their family members managed to find some COVID out there on the ship as well. So it sounds like this one's starting to go around again. By using the sun's internal sound waves, astronomers measured the rotation and observed patterns of bands, which are solar torsional oscillation, that rotate at varying speeds, and these bands move towards the sun's equator and poles during the activity cycle, with faster rotation belts typically appearing before a new cycle begins. Dr. Rachel Howe and her international team detected faint indications of the next solar cycle in their analysis of the rotation band's data. If you go back one solar cycle, 11 years on the plot, you can see something similar that seemed to join up with the shape that we saw in 2017. It went on to be a feature of the present solar cycle, cycle 25, said Dr. Howe. We're likely seeing the first traces of cycle 26, which won't officially start until about 2030. Since 1995, helioseismic data from the Global Oscillation Network Group, or GONG, the Michelson-Doppler Imager, the MDI, on board the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, and the Helioseismic and Magnetic Imager, the HMI, on the Solar Dynamics Observatory, have been used to study solar torsional oscillation signals. This data now includes the first 4 years of solar cycle 23, 24, and 25 enabling researchers to compare the rising phases of these cycles. Dr. Howe has tracked the sun's rotational changes for about 25 years, beginning with the data from solar cycle 23 from Qigong and MBI. She observed the pattern of faster moving material drifting towards the equator along with the sunspots. This pattern has been observed, albeit not exactly, in cycle 24 and now in cycle 25. It's exciting to see the first hint that the pattern will repeat again in cycle 26, which is due to start in about 6 years. With more data, I hope we can understand more about the part these flows play in the intricate dance of plasma and magnetic fields that form the solar cycle, she said. Okay, this is Marty, WV5YM, the Houston AMSAT Net. There's a NASA mission to study mysteries in the origin of solar radio waves. This is by Mara Johnson Groh for GSFC News, Greenbelt, Maryland, July the 10th. Scientists first noticed these radio waves decades ago, and over the years they've determined that radio waves come from solar flares and giant eruptions on the sun called coronal mass ejections, or CMEs, which are a key driver of space weather that can impact satellite communications and technology at Earth. But no one knows where the radio waves originate within a CME. The Curie mission aims to advance our understanding using a technique called low-frequency radio interferometry, which has never been used in space before. This technique relies on Curie's two independent spacecraft together, no bigger than a shoebox, that will orbit Earth about 2 miles apart. The separation allows Curie's instruments to measure tiny differences in the arrival time of radio waves, which enables them to determine exactly where the radio waves come from. This is a very ambitious and very exciting mission, said Principal Investigator David Sutcliffe, a researcher at the University of California, Berkeley. This is the first time that someone is ever flying a radio interferometer in space in a controlled way, and so it's a pathfinder for radio astronomy in general. The spacecraft designed by a team from UC Berkeley will measure radio waves ranging from 0.1 to 19 megahertz to pinpoint the radio wave's solar origin. These wavelengths are blocked by Earth's upper atmosphere, so this research can only be done from space. Curie will launch aboard an ESA, a European Space Agency Ariane 6 rocket in early July from the Guiana Space Center in Kourou, French Guiana. The rocket will take Curie to 360 miles above Earth's surface where it can get a clear view of the sun's radio waves. Once in its circular orbit, the two adjoined Curie spacecraft will establish communication with ground stations before orienting and separating. When the separated satellites are in formation, their dual 8-foot antennas will deploy and start collecting data. Curie is sponsored by NASA's Heliophysics Flight Opportunities for Research and Technology, HFORT program, and is the sole mission manifested on the NASA CubeSat Launch Initiative's ELINA, or Educational Launch of Nanosatellites 43 mission. As a pathfinder, Curie will demonstrate a proof of concept for space-based radio interferometry in the CubeSat form factor. Curie will also pave the way for the upcoming Sun Radio Interferometer Space Experiment, or SunRISE mission. SunRISE will employ 6 CubeSats to map the region where the solar waves originate in 2D.
CL-123.
Okay, well, I hope everybody stays safe out there. We've reached the end of our time, so be careful. Be sure and play with those satellites. Make lots of contacts out there. Make lots of radio contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO, and Marty, WV5Y, in COVID-infected Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.